Last week, a Victorian judge sentenced a Melbourne couple to jail terms of 6 years and 8 years after they kept an elderly Indian woman in domestic slavery for almost 8 years. But Australian businesses are also at risk of using slave or coerced labour in their overseas and even local supply chains. A survey of 150 top companies has found serious lapses in the way corporations comply with Australia's national anti-slavery law. Professor Jennifer Byrne heads the organisation Anti-Slavery Australia. She was until recently the official New South Wales Anti-Slavery Commissioner, and she joined me earlier.
We've only had 1 year so far where there's been reporting, and the report that came out last week from ACSI was a very helpful insight and analysis of what the big end of town is doing. And it did find that there were gaps in the way that the ASIC's companies were reporting against the criteria set out in the Modern Slavery Act.
Yeah, it found that of the 150 out of the top 200 companies that it surveyed, ACSI, which is the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors, found that they were basically in a race to the middle, that many of these companies considered their anti-slavery reporting a tick-the-box exercise.
That's a very curious phrase, isn't it? Race to the middle. I think it means that the companies are observing the strict letter of the law and reporting against the criteria, but not going further, not taking the extra step. But for a regime that's so new, it's not unexpected that there is a lack of certainty around what the standard should be.
Jennifer, what are companies actually required to do to comply with the Commonwealth anti-slavery legislation? I mean, what's the biggest impost on them?
This Act was passed in late 2018. It asks entities, and entities are more than companies. They include any big organisation that has a consolidated revenue of over $100 million each year. So the entities include hospitals and universities and broadcasting organisations, as well as companies. But there are key criteria that require them to describe the risk of modern slavery in their operations and supply chains. And then they have to describe the actions taken to address that risk. So what happens if an instance of modern slavery is reported? How do they support the victim of modern slavery? And should that victim be provided with any form of assistance, including the possibility of financial compensation?
Any entity covered by this law is basically required, though, to chase down its supply chains to see at any point whether slavery or some form of coerced labour has been used. Big companies do have the capacity for this. Do they have the will for it, though? Because this report suggests many of them don't really have the will to do that.
I've thought a lot about that, and I think the will may be part of the response, but the other thing is they don't really know what they should do. Really, the Act is asking them to describe the risk of modern slavery. You know, how do they identify where there are areas of risk within their supply chain and their operations? And that requires a pretty detailed effort. I think that for a new piece of legislation, the ACSI report is helpful because it flags where there are shortfalls in the reporting from major companies. But it's not all doom and gloom. You know, there are positive news stories there as well. And even meeting a legislative requirement, you know, is a huge step forward.
Yeah, you are the director of Anti-Slavery Australia. You currently represent 400 survivors of slavery. Are most of these people who've been caught up, if you like, in poor corporate processes, or are they cases like we saw just recently, that tragic case in Melbourne, where an Indian grandmother was held for more than a decade in a household? I mean, where are we seeing most of these 400 cases come up?
For us, in our practice, we represent people who have experienced modern slavery throughout Australia. Most are exploited within family settings through forced marriage practices, but also in the home. And you referred to the case in Melbourne last week. The judge referred to that as pitiless, you know, exploitation of that woman. But we also see people exploited in manufacturing and in agriculture, and even in one leading case within a call centre that was established in Brisbane to defraud people of money. The range of potential for exploitation is enormous. And what this means is that we must have very good mechanisms in place to prevent modern slavery taking place, but then support those who are identified.
What capacity, Jennifer, is there to compensate survivors of modern slavery?
This is one of the big issues that's been on our agenda for many years. And in Australia, we aren't doing enough. There's a clear gap here. We do have an obligation to support survivors of modern slavery, but we're not doing that properly. We do not have a national compensation scheme or a way to compensate people for the harm, the terrible harm that they've suffered in Australia. Rather, they may be able to make an application under any of the state or territory-based schemes, but these schemes are all different and they're not designed for modern slavery contexts. The amount of financial payment that might be paid to a survivor of a terrible crime would vary between $1,500 and $50,000. What we clearly need is to have a national scheme that provides a fair mechanism throughout Australia so that people who have suffered slavery and servitude, forced labour, forced marriage, you know, have access to justice and can be compensated. You know, we've looked at this seriously for a long time and have developed models for consideration. And one of those models would allow a determination to be made against the person who has exploited the victim. In that way, there is what's called a clawback mechanism. Although Commonwealth might make an award of payment to a victim, there is a process in place that would allow for that payment to be taken back from the exploiter. So this is something that would hit the hip pocket, you know, the nerve.
You mentioned there payments of between $1,500 and $50,000. Even at $50,000, for many years of exploitation, that's almost derisory. What penalties could apply or do apply under the current Commonwealth Modern Slavery Act to corporations that engage in that kind of exploitative modern slavery?
So under the Criminal Code, the code that operates throughout the whole of Australia, corporations in some circumstances could be found liable under the slavery provisions, and those responsible could be liable for up to 25 years imprisonment. Of the 31 convictions that we've seen in Australia since 2004, there's never been a custodial sentence of that length that's been imposed on a person convicted of a slavery or servitude type offence, but the period of imprisonment can be very high.
Jennifer, there's going to be a review in 2022 of the Commonwealth Anti-Slavery Act, also of the New South Wales Modern Slavery Act, which is in this strange state of hiatus. I mean, you were the interim New South Wales Government Anti-Slavery Commissioner. You pushed very hard for the implementation of that act. I mean, what's the greatest priority next year in reviewing both of these acts as far as you're concerned?
Well, I might speak about the New South Wales Modern Slavery Act first. As you noted, Andrew, I'm so committed to that act during my time as being the Interim Anti-Slavery Commissioner. But the act was sent to a parliamentary committee for review and the government's considered its response. The minister, responsible Minister Harwin, has said that he will reintroduce a modern slavery bill to amend the Modern Slavery Act, which was passed, and that the bill would seek to harmonise with the Commonwealth. My reading of that would be that since the Commonwealth Modern Slavery Act deals exclusively with regulation of supply chains and operations, then that would be the area where there would be some harmonisation. In the New South Wales Act, we had a different financial threshold. So commercial organisations making at least $50 million a year would have to report under the New South Wales Act. And if they failed to report, they could be subject to penalties, including a financial penalty of $1.1 million. The Commonwealth doesn't have a penalty system. And as we noted earlier, the Commonwealth threshold is $100 million. So I think we'll all keep an eye on the bill.
Yeah, well, Jennifer, if I can just come in here, given that the New South Wales Act is potentially much stronger, in fact, when you were there overseeing it, it was considered world-leading, does harmonisation with the Commonwealth Act meaning weakening the New South Wales Act?
That's where the eye is drawn naturally, to say that the area of harmonisation would be around the supply chain provisions and the provisions that extend to government. So under both the Commonwealth and the New South Wales Act, there's a requirement for government also to assess its own public procurement, its own supply chains.
Former New South Wales Anti-Slavery Commissioner Jennifer Byrne. There'll be a review of the national anti-slavery law next year, but we're also awaiting the fate of the New South Wales anti-slavery law. It was passed by the Parliament, hailed as among the best in the world, but it's been on ice for about 2 years, not enacted. We'll keep you posted.